going to Marysville. You know, it is virtually impossible to tell you that the excitement that mere statement would make in our house. I mean, going to Marysville was, well, let's just say that if Mom and Dad played their cards just right, that the mere mention of a might-be trip to Grandma's and Grandpa's could create such an environment in our home that my three siblings and I wouldn't fight for 2 weeks. We love going to Grandma's and Grandpa's. There was just one downside to the entire thing. After 3.5 agonizing hours of being packed into the car like sardines, we always managed to arrive in town just in time to be stopped by the train. Now, if none of you had ever been to Marysville during the good old days, well, being stopped by a train could turn into a 10 or 15 minute adventure. It broke for no one or nothing. And after that length of time in the car, one of us always had to go to the bathroom. Three of us were starving to death, and Dad had about as much togetherness as he could possibly stand. Mom would always say, "Now, Kenneth, there's nothing we can do about it, so there's no reason to get mad." Except for the fact that he had four whining children in the car. But we'd finally make it across the tracks, and Dad would drive the extra few blocks to Grandma's and Grandpa's house, and by the time he pulled up front and turned off the car, the train was almost forgotten. And he would turn around and say, "Everybody out that's getting out." And that's all that it took. As Mom would say, we sounded like a herd of turtles hitting the front porch. We'd go running into the house, and I remember Grandma would always be standing in the kitchen, fretting because she was certain that lunch was going to be ruined if we didn't get there soon. And Grandpa always had two questions. Which way did you come? And it didn't do any good to tell him which towns we came through. He wanted to know the highways. I never understood that one. And his second question, "So how long did you have to wait on the train?" Grandpa always knew that we had to wait on the train, not because it was a common experience, but because their house was right next to the switching tracks. I am convinced that after years of living there, if Grandpa wanted to, he could just listen and tell when the trains were being switched, when the cars were being moved around, when one train was coming in and one train was pulling out, and he knew by the time you drove up front if you'd been stopped by one of those trains. But the amazing thing was is that at any other time, we never heard the trains. They banged and they clanked and they stank. But in that little house, we never heard it. But we could sleep with the windows open on a summer evening and never hear the trains. We'd simply grown used to their noise, and it didn't bother us anymore. Now, I'm convinced that far too many of we Christians have learned to do the same thing. We don't listen. We don't hear the noise anymore. You see, while business executives and advertising firms work the entire year to make certain that we know the latest and greatest things to be asking for, you know, by September, the kids are all asking for that special toy that's going to become the hard thing to find. We all know the Black Friday specials, the woman with the pepper spray. I hope you heard about her. But we in the church? Well, each Advent season, we tell the same old story in the same old way to the same old crowds. And to be honest with you, most people don't listen. Come on, admit it. This is the place where I start railing against all of the commercialism of Christmas, right? Right, come on. You've all been to church before. You know the routine. First Sunday in Advent. The preacher always gets up, reminds you all that Advent is not about Christmas. It's about preparing for the coming of Christ. And please don't get caught up in all the commercialism and the running and the going and the doing. And you're trying to tell me you don't know that sermon? It's the way it is. That's the sermon you always get on the first Sunday of Advent in the church. So I think it's time that we just give it up. Nobody's listening anyway. We have been hearing about the coming of Christ for over almost 2,000 years now, and it hasn't happened. Nobody's paying attention to us. Or has it happened? Has Christ come? But we have been so busy blocking out the story that we haven't heard it. I want you to take out your pew Bibles and turn to the passage that was just read out of Corinthians. Now, Paul is very difficult to read and very difficult to hear and to understand. So I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. That's 2/3 of the way back in your Bible. You'll find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. Now, I want you to pay attention. I want you to read the words as I read them out loud. Starting with verse 4. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Jesus Christ. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I read that passage and I marvel. I mean, wouldn't you like to meet those Christians? They had all the knowledge that they needed. God was strengthening them for the trials and the temptations that they were facing. Wouldn't you like to be like them? Well, let me tell you about those Corinthians. Life was anything but good for them. Not only had the outside world infiltrated the church and compromised the integrity of the leaders, the people were beginning to look around at everything and if everyone else had. They were trying to decide just how they could mix Christianity with Judaism and paganism. You know, take the best of all the worlds. Not only that, they began to bicker and fight and argue with each other to the point that Paul was actually concerned that the church was not going to make it. These people, there was so much wrong with them that it's hard to come up with anything that was right about them. And in those rare moments when they were being honest with themselves, they knew just how miserable they had failed as followers of Christ. And yet, despite all the misgivings, despite the fact that they had fallen so far short of what they could be, with all their faults and failures laid out before them, Paul begins his letter by reminding them that God stood ready to strengthen them and to provide them with all the knowledge that they needed. Our God is faithful, says Paul. By him you were called into the fellowship. These were people that in many ways had no more hope. How could God possibly love them? Why would God possibly help them? The church had fallen short of its promise, and yet they were still being persecuted by the Romans. Nothing was right. And while Paul would later lay out all their shortcomings in only the way Paul could do, at this point he wanted to remind them that it didn't have to be this way. They could still hope. They could still believe. In reflecting upon this passage and all the chaos, brokenness, and disappointment that it represents, Patricia de Jong wrote these words: "We cannot create peace through selfishness, but by opening ourselves to hope. Hope is what is left when your worst fears have been realized and you are no longer optimistic about your future. Hope is what comes with a broken heart, willing to be mended." Friends, do you hear what she is saying? If and when your world falls apart, when it seems as though you have disappointed everyone, including God, when it feels as though you have nowhere or no one to turn to, no one who really cares about you anymore, then it's time to stay awake and to pay attention. For the moment you offer your broken heart and your broken life to Christ, he will enter in with all the comfort, healing, and strength that is needed so you can live again. All you have to do is hear him and open your lives. Life, peace, hope, they are ours when we dare to turn to tune out the world and tune in Christ. So what do we have to lose? Let's take the risk and begin our journey together, a journey of hope. To God be the glory. Amen.